بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, this is our 24th session, reading from Fath al-Qawi al-Mateen في شرح الأربعين وتتمة الخمسين, the explanation of 50 hadith of Al-Imam al-Nawawi and Al-Imam ibn Rajab رحمهم الله. May Allah have mercy upon both of them, with the sharh of our Shaykh al-A'lama Abu Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. Tonight, the hadith that we're going to be looking at is hadith number 20 from the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi. Before doing so, inshallah, we're going to take a quick look at some of the matters that we discussed last week from the questionnaire study guide from last week, yani questionnaire study guide number 23. The first question being, summarize the main topic or subject of hadith number 19. The main subject or topic of hadith number 19. Now, fadl. Protecting, preserving the laws of Allah. Anybody else? Naam, Zaki.
If you ask
from Allah alone. Yani, asking, seeking, yani, supplicating, dua, requesting should be from Allah alone. Just as, yani, seeking help in whatever we are desiring, that also should be from Allah alone. Yani, that making al-ibadah and al-isti'anah should be for Allah alone. Now, and one more topic, main theme of this hadith. Any other?
Having iman in the qadr of Allah.
Iman bil qadr. Naam. So these are some of the main themes that this hadith, which is a comprehensive hadith dealing with, and a number of very, very critical, important, fundamental matters. The second question, who is the rawi, narrator of this hadith, and the muhaddith in whose collection this hadith is found? Naam. Qasim. Yani Abdul ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhumah. Naam. And the collection that is found in? The Sunan of Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi, rahimahullah. At least the main narration. Naam. Question number 3, briefly explain the intended meaning. What is intended by in this hadith? Ihfad, ihfadillah. Yahfadik. What is the meaning of ihfadillah? Naam, Abdul Wali.
Guard the set of limits that Allah has set by acclimatizing the man to stand away from the prohibitions.
Naam, to guard and protect the limits, yani the boundaries, the hudud that have been set by Allah, and to do so, a person has to fulfill the commands of Allah and avoid his prohibitions. And the Shaykh also added to that, he said also, tasdiq al-akhbar, that we have to testify to the truthfulness of what has been, yani, conveyed to us from the Qur'an and from the Sunnah. And likewise, he said, very, very importantly, stay away from bid'ah and innovation, yani, to worship Allah according to that which He has legislated, avoiding innovations and things that the people just made up. The fourth question, how does the third and fourth statement in this hadith concur with the fifth ayat of Surah Al-Fatiha? First of all, what is the third and fourth hadith of this statement of this hadith? What is the third and fourth statement from this hadith? Naam, that if you ask, ask from Allah alone. That's the third. And the fourth, that if you seek help from Allah alone. And how does this, yani, concur or agree with, yani, the fifth ayat of Surah Al-Fatiha, which is what? What is the fifth ayat of Surah Al-Fatiha? إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. So what is the concurrence here between these two statements in this hadith and this ayah? And if you ask, ask from Allah alone. And if you seek help from Allah alone. And this ayah says what? يعني, indeed, Allah, we worship you alone and we seek help from you alone. Now, فضل. Naam, asking Allah is dua, and dua is ibadah. So ask, if you ask, ask Allah alone, means worship Allah alone, in everything, in dua and other than that. Naam. And the second part of it is clear, right? Seeking help from Allah alone. Naam. You want to add something?
That the Muslims worship Allah alone, so he asks Allah for his religious needs and for his worldly needs.
Yani, the Shaykh says the general meaning of this is that Muslims worship Allah alone. And when they ask from Allah alone. Yani, they call upon Allah, and they also utilize the means that are legislated, that are permissible, in order to achieve what they are asking for. And they ask Allah to make those means beneficial, that they work, that they actually produce something. Now, the fifth question, mention a hadith which proves our need to make an effort to achieve the goal in addition to seeking help from Allah. Hadith that the Shaykh mentioned. Now, follow. واستعين ولا تعجز. نعم. In this hadith, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, do something. احرص على ما ينفعك. Make an effort. واستعين بالله. But then seek help from Allah. Make your effort, but seek help from Allah, and don't feel helpless. Don't feel incapable. يعني if you have worked and you have asked Allah's help. نعم. Question number six. The final three statements in the narration of At-Tirmidhi all point to a fundamental principle of our deen. Explain briefly. The final three statements in the narration of At-Tirmidhi point to a fundamental principle. Those three statements that he's referring to are, number one, that if the whole of the ummah were to gather together to benefit you with anything, they wouldn't be able to benefit you with anything except what Allah had already written for you. And if they were to gather together to harm you with anything, they wouldn't be able to harm you with anything except what Allah had already written against you. And the final statement, that the pens are lifted and the pages are dried. This all refers to a fundamental principle in Islam. Yani what fundamental principle? Yani in brief. Naam, fadl. The belief in the qadr, the divine decree, naam, which entails, from amongst what is mentioned in these statements, that everything is written, that is pre-decreed, according to what Allah wills, and nothing would happen except what Allah wills. Therefore, when Allah has written something and He wills that to be, it can't happen any other way. And no matter what people gather together, they can't do except what Allah had already written and pre-decreed, and that is in accordance with His will. And the last part of it, yani, indicates to us what? That the recording, that it has been written, that everything that's going to happen has already been recorded, and the recording, yani, the pens have been lifted, the page is dried, meaning that the writing is finished, the affair is closed. Yani it is going to be as Allah decreed it to be. Question number seven, how has the author explained, be acquainted with Allah in prosperity and He will be acquainted with you in adversity? How has the Shaykh explained this? In brief. Naam, the talib.
To be obedient to Allah by following His commands, to refrain from disobeying Him when things are going well, and things are challenging, Allah will save you through your righteous actions, like in the hadith of the three companions of Allah.
Tayyib. Now, be obedient to Allah when things are going well, and Allah will take care of you when you're in difficulty. Yani, based upon what? Based upon the good deeds that you did, like in the hadith of the three people who were closed in the cave. The Shaykh, he also mentioned here, very importantly, he mentioned here that, yani, the meaning of, part of the meaning of, yani, this, what came in this hadith here, is that a person should make their deeds to be sincerely for the sake of Allah. And he, very importantly, and he not only do good deeds, but he said, أَخْلَصَ مَنْ أَخْلَصَ عَمَلَهُ لِلَّهِ. Yani whoever did those deeds that they did sincerely for the sake of Allah alone. Because sometimes people do things that appear to be good, but they might not be doing it for the sake of Allah alone. They might be doing it for some other reason, some worldly benefit, or for fame, or for people to recognize them, or whatever. So the Shaykh, he put this word in here as an important note. And he's not just doing good deeds when things are going well, but doing them sincerely for the sake of Allah alone. And then you will find any in difficulty that Allah will bring good to you, and Allah will protect you from harm. Question number 8, discuss briefly the words, know that whatever passed you by was not going to befall you, and whatever befell you was not going to pass you by, as mentioned in this, in the first, in the narration of At-Tirmidhi. Naam.
Whatever Allah has decreed, you will be safe from, will not harm you.
Naam.
Whatever Allah has decreed to touch you, will not miss you.
Naam.
And the decree of Allah must happen, for the law will must
come to fruition. Naam. And if Allah decreed for you to be safe from something, it could not have befallen you. And if Allah has decreed for something to befall you, yani, it couldn't pass you by. Because everything is in accordance with the decree of Allah. Everything is in accordance with the will of Allah. Whatever Allah willed will be, and whatever He did not will never occur. Yani what Allah decreed must happen. And if He didn't decree it, it will not happen. The last question mentioned 5 of the 12 fawaid benefits which the author has derived from this hadith. And we can just mention some of them. Some of the benefits that the author mentioned from this hadith. Start on this side. Qasim.
Whoever protects the Hudud of Allah, he will protect and preserve his deen and his
religion. Whoever protects and preserves the Hudud of Allah, the boundaries that Allah has set, the laws of Allah, then Allah will protect that person in their deen and in their dunya. Also, connected to that now. Whoever neglects Allah's deen, whoever neglects Allah's laws, then they will not be receiving any protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, in line with this, the Shaykh said the principle,
the reward will be equal to the deeds.
Yani the reward that a person receives will be like the deeds. A person protects and preserves the deen of Allah, the laws of Allah, Allah protects and preserves them. Also, very, very importantly, yani that the singling out of Allah alone as the one that you yani worship and as the one that you seek help from. Yani this should be exclusively for Allah alone. Any other points?
Having
iman in the qadr. Naam. Yani that people, they cannot benefit nor harm anyone in any way except if it has already been decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No benefit will come to anyone except what Allah decreed. No harm will come to anyone except what Allah decreed. Last few points that he mentioned. Now. Yani, that difficulty is followed by ease. And those last three statements, with that he said what?
A person will not get any benefit except by the decree of Allah.
The last three points, though, that's in accordance with what he said, yani that
relief
comes with distress. Person is in distress, Allah will grant relief to them. And also,
victory,
support, help, and aid from Allah will come, yani with patience. And I think the last two points that the Shaykh mentioned is, yani the, Yani, seek assistance through yani patience and prayer. Now, but the last two points that the Shaykh mentioned from the benefits of the hadith, he said, that if you're going to yani tell somebody something important, then yani lead off with something that will draw their attention to what you are going to say, to know, for them to know the importance of what is about to be said so that they can pay attention to it. And he also said the humility, the humbleness, and the kindness of the Prophet ﷺ in dealing with young people. And these are some of the benefits that the Shaykh mentioned. Allahu musta'an. Okay, so tonight the hadith that we're going to be looking at is hadith number 20. It's on page 73 in the print that we are reading from. The Shaykh, and he outlines his discussion concerning this hadith in two points. The first point includes his introductory comments about this hadith, yani about al-haya, and the meaning of it as it came in this hadith. And then he joins with that, yani, three other points from quotations from Al-Imam Ibn Rajab. One of them is Ibn Rajab's introduction, explanation of the introduction to this hadith. Yani this hadith has an introduction. Okay, so he mentions the explanation of that introduction, and then the next point, Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, mentions the views, the different views concerning what this hadith means. And then finally, Ibn Rajab talks about al-haya, the different types of haya. And the last thing which the Shaykh mentions as point number two, yani point number two, he said, are the benefits from this hadith. So point number one, in my mind, is really four points. Point number one is really four points. I just want you to kind of keep that in mind. And we say point number one, we're going to have a long reading, and it's going to deal with different matters. The first one is the comments from the Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, Hafidhullah, and the next three points are from the quotation of Ibn Rajab. Yani his explanation of the introductory statement of this hadith, and then his explanation of the different views of the explanation of this hadith, and then his discussion concerning al-haya, and the two types of haya. So let's read what we have here on page 73, on the top of the page, al-hadith al-ishroon, yani the 20th hadith, an Abi Mas'ud, Uqba ibn Amr, al-Ansari, al-Badri, rahimahullah ta'ala. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna mimma adraka al-nasu min kalam al-nubuwatil-ula, idha lam tastahi. In some of the handwritten copies of this, of the 40 hadith, it has, إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحْيِ. And here it has, إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحْيِ. And the meaning is the same, فَاسْنَعْ مَا شِعْتَ رَوَهُ الْبُخَارِي. Yani, this hadith is narrated on the authority of Abi Mas'ud, Uqba ibn Amr, al-Ansari, al-Badri. Yani, al-Ansari meaning that he was from the people of Medina, that received the Prophet ﷺ and supported and helped him, and those who migrated from Mecca to Medina, al-Ansar. And al-Badri, it means that he was from the people who fought in the Battle of Badr. From the people who fought in the Battle of Badr. The battle in which, yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave victory to the Muslims or the Mushrikeen, in spite of, yani, the odds against him. On the authority of Abu Mas'ud, his kunya, Uqba ibn Amr, his name, Al-Ansari Al-Badri, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna, this is the introductory statement to the hadith, Inna mimma adraka al-nas min kalam al-nubuwati al-ula, yani from that which, indeed, from that which the people obtained or acquired from the speech of al-nubuwa al-ula, yani that which came from the earlier prophets, that which came from the prophethood, yani from before the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the beginning of prophethood. Idha lam tastahi fasna ma shi'ta, yani if you don't feel or experience shyness or shame, if you don't have any modesty, then fasna ma shi'ta, then do whatever you will. Then do whatever you will. This hadith reported by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. So the Shaykh, yani Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Abad, hafidhullah, he begins, yani this point number one, lengthy point number one. The first part of it is his kalam. The first part of it is his kalam. He says, Al-Hadith yadullu ala anna al-haya mamduh. Yani this hadith points to the fact or indicates that the characteristic of al-haya is mamduh, yani it's something praiseworthy, commendable. It's very good. It's something that, yani, a person should strive for, a Muslim. Yani it's commendable, it's praiseworthy. The characteristic, the quality of al-haya. This hadith indicates that al-haya is something praiseworthy. وَكَمَا هُوَ فِي هَذِهِ الشَّرِيَةِ فَهُوَ فِي الشَّرَائِ السَّابِقَةِ. And just as it is in our Sharia, in the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, something praiseworthy, yani something that is important for a Muslim to give attention to, so likewise it was also important in the Sharia of the Prophets of the past, in the previous legislations that came, just as it is in the legislation that came to the final Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This hadith also indicates أَنَّهُ مِنْ الْأَخْلَاقِ الْكَرِيمَةِ, that al-haya, modesty, shyness, is from the noble character traits, التي توارثتها النبوات حتى انتهت إلى هذه الأمة. Yani that this noble character trait, it is from that which has been passed down, yani inherited, from the early prophets, from the early prophethoods and their prophethood, until it reached this ummah. And it's something that was passed down, that was inherited from one time of a prophet and the people of that prophet to the people who came after them, until it reached, until the time of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Abad, hafidhullah, he mentions briefly the views of the scholars concerning what is meant by this hadith. And if a person doesn't feel shame, shyness. If they don't have any modesty, then do whatever you will. The scholars have two or three views concerning this. What is actually meant by that? Some of the scholars said that the command, فَاسْنَعْ مَا شِعْتَ, the command, do whatever you will. If you don't feel any shame, then do whatever you will. Some of the scholars understood that this is a command to do whatever you will. And some of the scholars held the view that it's not a command, that it's a threat, yani a challenge. Do it and suffer the consequences. And those who said that it's not a command to do whatever you will, they had two ways of interpreting yani that their position. They had two ways. So here, yani the Shaykh mentions all three of them in brief, and then he mentions the quotation from Al-Imam Ibn Rajab in detail about these three views. Yani, is this actually a command? The Prophet ﷺ said, if you're thinking about doing something and you don't feel any shame about it, do whatever you will. Then you are commanded to do whatever you will. Meaning that it's permissible to do it. Or it may even be encouraged to do it. You may be encouraged to do it. Do whatever you will. That's one view. And again, the other view is, some of the scholars said, no, it's not a command to do whatever you will. But rather, it's a challenge. It's a threat. That if you just do whatever you will, then you're going to suffer the consequences. And some said, no, actually, this is khabar. Allah is informing us that this is the reality of the situation. If a person doesn't have haya, he doesn't have any modesty, he doesn't have shyness, he doesn't feel shame, that person is going to do whatever he wills. There's nothing to stop him from doing what he will. Meaning, the Prophet ﷺ is telling us here that if a person doesn't have haya, he is going to do whatever he wills. So one view is that it means what it says, do whatever you will. If you don't feel any shame about it, do whatever you will. Another view is that it's not a command, it's a challenge, a threat. That if you do whatever you will, you're going to suffer the consequences. Or, he's just informing us that people who don't have haya are going to do whatever they will. So Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, he says, "Wal amr fi," yani the command in this hadith, "Fasna ma shi'ta." If you don't feel any shame, then do whatever you will. He said the command in here is lil ibaha wa talab. It's lil ibaha wa talab. Meaning that this command is really telling us that it's permissible. It's mubah. If you don't feel any shame about the matter, then it's permissible to go ahead and do it. Or it's for talab. Meaning if you don't feel any shame about it, because it's something from the good characteristics, from acts of obedience or praiseworthy things, then you are requested, you are required to go ahead and do it. And you do it then. That's one meaning. The Shaykh says, the amr fihi lil ibaha wa talab. Yani the command in this is one view. The command in this, yani statement, do whatever you will, is showing that it's permissible or that you are being requested to go ahead and do it. إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ الْمُسْتَحْيَ مِنْهُ مَمْنُوعًا شَرْعًا. That is, if the thing that you are not feeling any shame about is something that is مَمْنُوعًا شَرْعًا. يعني إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ. If that thing is not something that's مَمْنُوعًا شَرْعًا. If it's not something that's prohibited in the Sharia. And if it's something that's prohibited, then the Prophet ﷺ is certainly not telling us to go ahead and do whatever you will. So he's saying that, okay, so it's permissible. Or it's something that's requested to be done. If it's not something that's prohibited by the Sharia, then it's permissible to go ahead and do it. If you don't feel any shame and it's not something prohibited in the Sharia, go ahead and do it. وَإِنْ كَانَ مَمْنُوعًا فَهُوَ لِلْتَحْدِيدِ. But if it is something that's prohibited in the Sharia, then the meaning of the command here to do whatever you will is really a threat. That if you go ahead and do that, you're going to receive the punishment and the consequences. So these are two meanings. One meaning that, yani, if it's something good, it's not something prohibited, then the meaning here is, yes, go ahead and do whatever you will. It's permissible. It's requested to do so. The other meaning, if it's something that's prohibited in the Sharia, then this is not a command to do whatever you will. Rather, it's a threat that if you do whatever you will, then you will be, yani, suffering the consequences. Another meaning that he gave, the Shaykh said, أَوْ أَنَّ مِثْلَ ذَٰلِكَ لَا يَحْصُلُ إِلَّا مِنْ مَنْ ذَهَبَ حَيَاؤُهُ أَوْ قَلَّ. Another possible interpretation of this hadith is that the like of this kind of behavior, yani the behavior that's not permissible, that is prohibited in Islam, the like of this kind of behavior doesn't occur from anyone except the person whose haya has gone. They have no haya. Or qalla, or it's very little. Yani this kind of behavior that a person does, which yani actions that Allah has prohibited, this doesn't occur from anyone except the person who has no haya or very little haya. This means here then, what? That this is the third yani way of interpreting this hadith, that this yani statement from the Prophet, if you don't feel any shame, do whatever you will, he's saying that this is blameworthy and it doesn't occur except from the person who has no haya. So he's not saying do it, but he's saying, and he's telling us that this is what people are going to do, but it's blameworthy. It's blameworthy. It doesn't occur from anyone except the person who has no haya or has very little haya. So these are three interpretations. The first one he said, lil ibaha wa talab, and it means that it's something permissible to do if it's a lawful thing and a praiseworthy thing. Or it means للتحديد, if it's a prohibited thing, then this is a threat that you're going to suffer the consequences. Or it may mean that this is just, we're being told that acting like this is something yani that doesn't occur except from the person who has no haya, yani that is blameworthy. So this is the first point. And then this first point goes on, yani which I'm going to yani consider as the second point, when he begins to quote from Al-Imam Ibn Rajab. And three points from Ibn Rajab before we go to the benefits from this hadith. So under this first point, he begins to say, قَالَ Ibn Rajab فِي جَامِ الْعُلُومِ وَالْحِكْمِ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ. In the first volume, page 497. Yani, Al-Imam Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, says in his book, in the explanation of the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi, and the extra 8 hadith that he added to them, he says in that book, the saying of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the introductory statement for this hadith, إِنَّ مِمَّا أَدْرَكَ النَّاسِ مِنْ كَلَامِ النُّبُوَّةِ الْأُولَى. Yani, from that which the people obtained, or received, or acquired, from the speech of an-nubuwah al-ula, yani speech that came from the earlier prophets, passed down to us until today. This statement is the introduction to the main statement of this hadith, right? That whoever doesn't have any shame, then do whatever you will. So this introductory statement, Ibn Rajab talks about it. He says, يُشِيرُ إِلَى أَنَّ هَذَا مَأْثُورٌ عَنَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ الْمُتَقَدِّمِينَ. And this statement points to the fact that this, what is getting ready to come in this hadith, the statement of this hadith is ma'athur. It's something that has been transmitted, or something that has been handed down from al-anbiya al-mutaqaddimin, from the earlier prophets. This is something that has been handed down. It's ma'athur. Ma'athur. From the earlier prophets. And this statement also indicates, and the nas tadawaluhu bainahum وَتَوَارَثُوهُ عَنْهُمْ قَرْنًا بَعْدَ قَرْنٍ. This statement, introductory statement, also indicates that the people used to yani pass this back and forth amongst themselves. Yani they shared it with one another and they inherited, and it was inherited from them one generation after another. Yani from one generation to the next, the people passed it down. They shared it amongst themselves and it was passed down from one generation to another. وَهَذَا يَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ النُّبُوَّةَ الْمُتَقَدِّمَةَ جَاءَتْ بِهَذَا الْكَلَامِ وَأَنَّهُ اشْتَحَرَ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ حَتَّى وَصَلَ إِلَىٰ أَوَّلْ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ. So Ibn Rajab rahimahullah says, so this indicates that the earlier prophets, the نُبُوَّةَ الْمُتَقَدِّمَةَ, and the prophethood of the earlier prophets, actually came with this speech, with this saying, with this statement. If you don't have any shame, then do whatever you will. And that it was well known. It was yani, it was like spread amongst the people. اشتهر بين الناس. Yani it was something that was known amongst the people until the beginning of this ummah. Yani until it reached the ummah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Can somebody help me with these lights? I'm like, I can't even see this paper. My eyes. Allahu musta'an. I knew something was wrong. I thought maybe my eyes was getting worse. I have no light. Allahu musta'an. Fayyid. After this statement, Ibn Rajab rahimahullah's explanation of the introductory sentence of this hadith, the Shaykh continues to quote from him. Ila and qala. Up until he said, and he skipped some of what he said after that, and he came to this point that he wants to quote from him again. And this is all under point number one, but this is the second matter that Ibn Rajab discusses in his explanation concerning this. The third matter being the two types of haya. Here he says, Ibn Rajab says, قَوْلُهُ إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَاسْنَ مَا شَئْتَ. If you have no shame, then do whatever you will. فِي مَعْنَاهُ قَوْلًا. Yani the, in terms of the meaning of this statement, there are two قَوْلًا. Yani two opinions or two views. قَوْلًا. There are two views of the scholars. أَحَدُهُمَا. One of them, أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ بِمَعْنَى الْأَمْرِ أَنْ يَسْنَعْ مَا شَاءَ. Yani one of the views of the scholars concerning this statement is that its meaning is not that you are being commanded to do whatever you will. Yani no matter what it is. That's not the meaning. وَلَكِنَّهُ عَلَى مَعْنَى الذَّمْ وَالنَّهِي عَنْهُ. But rather, the meaning of it is that if you do whatever you will, this will be something blameworthy. And if you just do anything indiscriminately without consideration of whether it's something good or bad, this is something that's blameworthy and is something that you are prohibited from. Not something you're encouraged to do, rather this is something blameworthy. That a person just does whatever they will, just follows their desires. That's blameworthy. And it's something that is prohibited. وَأَهْلُ هَذِهِ الْمَقَالَةِ لَهُمْ طَرِيقًا. And the people who hold this view, they have two methods of interpreting it. Yani the view that the command in this ayat is not a command to do just whatever you will. Rather, if a person does so, that will be blameworthy, and it's something that's prohibited. They have two ways of explaining this view that the meaning of this command is not what it appears to be. Yani it's not really a command to do whatever you will. They have two ways of explaining that. Tariqan, two ways. أَحَدُهُمَا أَنَّهُ أَمْرٌ بِمَعْنَى التَّهْدِيدِ وَالْوَعِيدِ. Yani one of those explanations is that in reality this is not a command to do whatever you will, rather it's a command, the meaning of it is التَّهْدِيدِ وَوَعِيدِ. Yani that this is a threat. Yani you're being threatened. That if you do whatever you will suffer the consequences of it. This is one of the ways of interpreting that this command is not a command to just do whatever you will, rather it is a threat. وَالْمَعْنَى. So the, how, what is, how do we understand that? إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ لَكَ حَيَاءٌ فَعْمَلْ مَا شِئْتَ. Yani, if a person doesn't have, yani, haya, then do whatever you will. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُجَازِيكَ عَلَيْهِ عَلَيْهِ نَعْمْ. So if a person, yani, doesn't have haya, and they do whatever they will, how is this a threat? Because Allah is going to recompense you for whatever you do. And if you do something evil, something sinful, something illegal, this is a threat. Because what? Because Allah is going to recompense you. He's going to, and he called you account for how you act. So the Shaykh says, this is like the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, اِعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ إِنَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. And if Allah says in the Quran, command, do whatever you will. اِعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ. Indeed, He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. That He is the, He sees whatever you are doing. And He's letting you know, do whatever you will. Not really do whatever you will, but if you do whatever you will, Allah sees what you're doing. And Allah will call you to account for what you're doing. So that's how He said is the meaning. That's one of the interpretations of the meaning, that this is not what it appears to be, a command to just do whatever you will. Rather it's a threat. Just as in this ayah, Allah says, do whatever you will, but Allah sees what you're doing, and you will be called to account for it. And it is similar to the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَاعْبُدُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ مِن دُونِهِ. Worship whatever you will, other than Allah. Whatever is less than Allah. Worship whatever you will. Allah is saying, is He saying, really Allah is saying, giving you a command to worship other things other than Him? No, this is a threat. That if you do that, then you're going to be called to account. Shaykh says that this is the chosen opinion of a group of the scholars, and from amongst them is Abu al-Abbas Tha'alab. And this is the opinion of some of the scholars, and from amongst them, yani, is Abu al-Abbas Tha'alab. Then the Shaykh says, والطريق الثاني, the second way of interpreting the first view, that this is not what it appears to be, this is not a command to just do whatever you want to, whatever you want to do, no matter what it might be. The second way of interpreting it, he said, أَنَّهُ أَمْرٌ وَمَعَنَاهُ الْخَبَرُ. Yani that the wording of it is a command, but the meaning of it is, Allah is just, yani the Prophet ﷺ is informing us. This is information he's telling us, yani what's going to happen. Yani that people who don't have haya, they're going to do whatever they will. This is the second way of interpreting. The first opinion, who say that, this is not a, what it appears to be. Just a command to do whatever you want to do. Well, ma'ana, and how we understand this, is that whoever doesn't have haya, أَنَّ مَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَحِي صَنْعَ مَا شَاءَ. The person who doesn't have haya, he does whatever he wills. He does do that. People don't have a, and you just look around this in this society, right? People have no haya, they do whatever they want. They go on the streets naked, they drink alcohol and use intoxicants in public, they yani do all kind of things. Because why? No haya. So this is a khabar. Yani the language, the expression, the wording is a command, but the meaning is, we're just being informed. That when people don't have haya, they're going to do whatever they want to do. فَإِنَّ الْمَانِيَ مِنْ فِعْلِ الْقَبَائِحِ هُوَ الْحَيَاءِ. Because the thing that prevents a person from doing these ugly, filthy, abominable, disgusting, repugnant acts, the thing that prevents people from that is haya. So if a person doesn't have haya, then they're going to just do those things. They're going to do whatever they will. Whoever doesn't have haya, then they're going to be drowning. إِنْ حَمَكَ فِي كُلِّ فَحْشَاءٍ وَمُنْكَرٍ وَمَا يَمْتَنِعُ مِنْ مِثْلِهِ مَنْ لَهُ حَيَاءٍ. The person who doesn't have haya is going to be drowning, absorbed in every type of filthy, evil, yani reprehensible, repugnant, disgusting act, and that which the person who has haya would be prevented from. They're going to engage in all of those things that if a person had haya, they would be prevented from. And this is based, is similar to the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, مَنْ كَذَبَ عَلَيَّ فَلْيَتَبَوَّ مَقَعَدَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. That whoever lies upon me, فَلْيَتَبَوَّ مَقَعَدَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. Then let him take a seat in the hellfire. This is not a command to take a seat in the hellfire. This is khabar. He's telling us that if you lie upon me, you're going to have a seat in the hellfire. And if the command him, فَلْيَتَبَوَّ لَامِ الْأَمْرِ, it's not a command that now you're being ordered to end it. No, this is a khabar telling us that if you lie on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you will have a seat in the hellfire. فَإِنَّ لَفْظَ لَفْظَهُ لَفْظُ الْأَمْرِ. Yani the expression is in the form of a command. وَمَعَنَاهُ الْخَبْرِ. But the meaning of that word is not that you're being commanded to do it, it's just we're being told that that is what's going to happen. Yani that whoever lies upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they will be having a seat in the hellfire. And this is the chosen opinion of some of the scholars, including Abu Ubaidah, Al-Qasim, Ibn Salam, rahimahullah, and Ibn Qutaybah, and Muhammad ibn Nasr, and Marwazi, and others besides them. And it also has been narrated by Abu Dawood, Imam Abu Dawood, rahimahullah, as a statement or something similar to this that has the same meaning has been narrated by Al-Imam Abu Dawood from Al-Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah, yani that which indicates the same as this interpretation, yani of this command, that it's really information telling us that this is what's going to happen when people do whatever they want to do. So this is the first opinion. Yani Ibn Rajab says that there are two qawlan. One of them is that the command in this hadith is not as it appears to be. Just you're being commanded to do whatever you will no matter what it is. It has two ways that they explained it. One of them is that it's a threat from Allah that if you do that, you're going to be called to account. And the second one is that this is khabr. That this is what is going to happen when people have no haya. The second saying, the second qawl of the scholars concerning the meaning of this hadith, he says, وَالْقَوْلَ الثَّانِي فِي مَعْنَى قَوْلِهِ إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَاسْنَ مَا شِئْتَ. Yani if you don't have any shame, any modesty, any shyness, then do whatever you will. He said, the second opinion of the scholars, أَنَّهُ أَمْرٌ بِفِعْلِ مَا شَاءَ عَلَى ظَاهِرِ لَفْظِهِ. Yani that it is a command to do whatever you will, just as it appears to be. Yani this is really a command to do whatever you will, but the meaning here, though, إِذَا كَانَ الَّذِي تُرِيدُ فِعْلَهُ مِمَّا لَا يُسْتَحْيَ مِنْ فِعْلِهِ. Yani if, yani the meaning is that yes, it is a command to do whatever you will, if that which you want to do is from that which, yani, a person has no reason to be ashamed of. Yani it's something that's good. Yani no reason for a person to be shy from. Not from Allah, nor from the people. Yani if it's an act that you wouldn't be shy from Allah doing, nor you be shy from the people. Yani you wouldn't be ashamed to do it. Not shamed in front of Allah, nor shamed in front of the people. لكنه من الأفعال الطاعات. But rather it's from acts of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or من جميل الأخلاق. Or it's from the beautiful characteristics of good character. Or الأداب المستحسنة. يعني those manners that are considered to be good. يعني if it's from that type of action or behavior that a person wouldn't be ashamed of in front of Allah or in front of the people. يعني it's from acts of obedience or good character or good manners. Then in that case, فَاسْنَعْ مِنْهُ حِينَئِذٍ مَا شِئْتَ. Then do from those kind of things whatever you will. يعني the command in this hadith, according to this view, it's a real command to do whatever you will. If the thing that you're thinking about doing is something from the acts of obedience to Allah or good character or good manners or the things that you wouldn't be ashamed of in front of the people nor in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, this is also a view of a group of the scholars. هَذَا قَوْلُ جَمَعَةٍ مِنَ الْأَئِمَّةِ مِنْهُمْ أَبُو إِسْحَاقِ الْمَرْوَزِي الشَّافِعِي وَهُقِيَ مِثْلُهُ عَنَ الْإِمَامِ أَحْمِدِ. يعني, this is the view of a group amongst the imams of the people of Sunnah, including Abu Ishaq al-Marwazi al-Shafi'i, and it has also been related, the like of it has been related as being an opinion of al-Imam Ahmed, rahimahumullah. Now, after this, the quote from Imam Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, the Shaykh goes on to quote from him. This is all still part of number one. But this is the third specific matter that Ibn Rajab talks about. The first matter, he talks about the introductory statement to this hadith. The second matter, he mentions the two opinions of the scholars, and one of them having two interpretations. And now he talks about the haya. This is the third point that Ibn Rajab talks about. The Shaykh quotes him saying, وَقَالَ in the first volume of Jami' Ulum al-Hikam, page 501 and 502, he said, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْحَيَاءَ نَوْعَانٍ. Yani Ibn Rajab is saying that you should know that al-haya is of two types. Yani that there are two different types of haya. أَحَدُهُمَا مَا كَانَ خُلُقًا جِبِلَّةً غَيْرَ مُكْتَسِبٍ. Yani the first of them is the character of a person that is natural. Yani it's their natural disposition. Yani this is the way they were created. This is the way they were born. Yani with this quality of shyness or modesty. It's not something that is muktasib. Yani that they acquired or they learned. وَهُوَ مِنْ أَجَلِّ الْأَخْلَاقِ الَّتِي يَمْنَحُهَا اللَّهُ الْعَبْدِ وَيَجْبُلُهُ عَلَيْهَا. Yani this is from the most noble of the various characteristics of good character which Allah has favored or blessed a person with and made it, yani part of his natural disposition. Yani this is from the most noble of the characteristics that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yani gives to a person as a gift and makes it part of their natural disposition. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ. And for this reason, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-haya'u la ya'ti illa bi khairin." That al-haya, the person who has this quality, and nothing will come from it except good. The person who has this quality, nothing will come from it except good. فَإِنَّهُ يَكُفُّ عَنْ إِرْتِكَابِ الْقَبَائِحِ وَدَنَاءَةِ الْأَخْلَاقِ وَيَحُثُّ عَلَى إِسْتِعْمَالِ مَكَارِمِ الْأَخْلَاقِ وَمَعَالِيهَا. فَهُوَ مِنْ خِصَالِ الْإِيمَانِ بِهَذَا الْإِعْتِبَارِ. الْحَيَاء, nothing comes from it except good. And that's because it causes a person to refrain from committing acts that are shameful, disgusting, repulsive, ugly, yani moral ugliness. It causes a person to refrain from committing those acts, from yani having despicable character. It causes a person to refrain from the al-haya. And it encourages a person, it urges the person to have yani noble character, lofty, yani high morals. And for this reason, it is from the qualities or characteristics or aspects of iman in this sense. In the sense that what? Like iman, prevents a person from doing acts of yani sin, disobedience to Allah, any immoral, base, vile behavior, repugnant behavior. Just like iman prevents a person from doing that and encourages a person to do good, likewise, al-haya does the same. And in that sense, al-haya min al-iman. That's the first type of haya. The haya that Allah created a person upon, their natural inclination, their natural disposition. The second type of haya, Ibn Rajab says, ma kana muktasab, muktasaban. Yani it's the quality of shyness or modesty that a person acquires. Yani a person enters Islam, they grow up in a filthy society, and they don't have haya. And they didn't know anything of, that something is shameful. And in a filthy kafir society, people may have sexual relations in the public, in the street, in the park, on a bus or a train. So a person didn't know that there's such a thing as high moral character. And then they entered Islam and they began to learn. And then they acquired any of this characteristic of haya. They acquired it. He said this is the second type of haya. And then he talks about what it comes from. Yani how is it that a person takes on this quality? How do they yani develop this quality? He said it is acquired. It is yani something that a person learns. Muktasaban min ma'rifatillah. It comes from there having knowledge and acquaintance with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa ma'rifati azamatihi. وَقُرْبِهِ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ وَاتِّلَاعِهِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَعِلْمِهِ بِخَائِنَةِ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. That is something that's acquired when a person comes to know Allah, and when they know His greatness, His magnificence, and when they know that He is near to His worshippers, and when they know that He is the one who is overlooking them, that He is looking over them, watching them. And when they know that He has knowledge of the khainati al-ayun, yani the glance or the look that a person tries to do secretly. And they try to see something that they shouldn't be looking at, but they don't want anybody to know that they're looking at it. Right? They take that sneaky, secret look. Allah knows that. And Allah knows what the hearts, what the chests conceal. Yani what nobody can see. Allah knows all of that. When a person knows that Allah has knowledge of these things, and Allah is watching over us, and Allah is near to His worshippers, and they know the magnificence, the greatness and the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through this a person achieves, acquires, yani that type of haya that a person didn't have. They acquired it. Through what? Through knowing Allah, fearing Allah, knowing the greatness of Allah, recognizing yani that Allah is near to us, that He's watching over us, and that, and He knows even that which is secret. The Shaykh says, وَهَذَا مِنْ أَعْلَى خِصَالِ الْإِيمَانِ بَلْ هُوَ مِنْ أَعْلَى دَرَجَاتِ الْإِحْسَانِ. Yani, the Shaykh says that this quality of iman, of haya, he said it is from the highest of the qualities of iman. Rather, it is from amongst the highest degrees of ihsan. It is from amongst the highest degrees of ihsan. Yani that a person is conscious of Allah, that they know Allah's greatness, His magnificence, and they have love for Allah, and they know that they are conscious that Allah is watching us, so they are aware of this. This is from the highest characteristics or qualities of iman, and from amongst the highest levels or degrees of ihsan. Then the Shaykh closes this point by saying, وَقَدْ يَتَوَلَّدُ الْحَيَاءُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ مُطَالَعَةِ نِعْمِهِ وَرُؤْيَةِ التَّقْصِيرِ فِي شُكْرِهَا. That is possible that al-haya from Allah, a person having shyness in front of Allah, might be the result of a person being aware, yani examining, looking at the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person examining these things, looking at this, being aware of the favors of Allah, and also seeing their taqseer, their shortcoming in fulfilling the obligation of being thankful to Allah for those favors. Yani a person who's aware of the favors of Allah, who thinks about, examines, brings to the forefront of their mind the favors of Allah, the innumerable favors of Allah, to every person individually and to humanity collectively, in yourself, in your personal life, in the world around you, in the universe. When a person looks at these things and thinks about them and examines them and then recognizes their shortcoming in fulfilling the obligation of being grateful for that. That this is one of the things that may generate or yani bring about al-hayah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani if every individual just looks at their self in their own life and sees the favors of Allah in their life and reminds their self of that and realizes that they have fallen short in the obligation. Yani al-shukra is obligatory, that a person shows gratitude, appreciation, is thankful to Allah for his favors. If a person recognizes all of those favors of Allah and recognizes how they have fallen short in fulfilling the obligation, that this may make a person have this quality of haya. Then the shaykh, he says, فَإِذَا سُلِبَ الْعَبْدِ الْحَيَا الْمُقْتَسَبِ وَالْغَرِيزِ لَمْ يَبْقَ لَهُ مَا يَمْنَعُهُ مِنْ إِرْتِكَابِ الْكَبِيحِ وَالْأَخْلَاقِ الدَّنِيئَةِ فَصَارَ كَأَنَّهُ لَا إِيمَانَ لَهُ. If a person is deprived of the haya that is acquired and the haya that is natural, then there doesn't remain anything that can prevent that person from engaging in yani disgusting, repulsive, repugnant, ugly behavior. There's nothing to prevent the person from having despicable character and manners. And therefore that person becomes in a condition or a state, كَأَنُّهُ لَا إِمَانَ لَهُ. It is as though he doesn't have any iman. Allahu musta'an. The shaykh, he mentions here now the second point of his explanation, that is the benefits that are derived from this hadith. Before I read the benefits that he mentioned derived from this hadith, I want to just quickly benefit a little bit from Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, in his very brief explanation of this hadith. And this is the briefest of his explanations of any of the hadith and 40 hadith, as far as I know. But he talks a lot in it about al-haya. And I think it's important that we reflect a little bit on this matter of haya itself, as opposed to yani the views of the scholars of what the meaning of this hadith is. Now, fadl, now. Okay? The scholars interpreted this hadith differently, but what is al-haya? What is it? So, Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, he mentions that this hadith is a tremendous hadith, and in it the Prophet ﷺ mentions that if a person doesn't have haya, then do whatever they will. What is haya, he says? It is a khasla azima. It is a magnificent, great, tremendous quality or characteristic that prevents a human being from those things that are not befitting of him. And it prevents a person from doing things that are not befitting, that are not becoming. Such as talking nonsense or despicable behavior and evil character. So the person who doesn't have haya, I'm sorry, the person who has haya, this prevents him from that which is unbecoming, unbefitting. And that's because haya prevents those things. The person who has haya, that it prevents him from it. And for this reason, the Shaykh says, for this reason, al-haya became an aspect of iman. The Prophet ﷺ said, al-haya'u شُعْبَةٌ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. That haya is a branch of iman for this reason. And because it acts like iman, it prevents a person from doing evil. So the person who doesn't have haya, هَذَا دَلِيلٌ عَلَى دَعَفْ إِيمَانِهِ. The person who doesn't have iman, this is an indication of the weakness of their iman. We're talking about Muslims. This is an indication of the weakness of his iman. وَالَّذِي يَسْتَحْيِي هذا دليل على كمال إيمانه. And the person who has حياة, this is an indication of the completion and the perfection of that person's iman. The Shaykh goes on, and he talks a little bit about the two interpretations of this hadith, but then he goes on to continue talking about haya. He says, haya is a magnificent quality or characteristic that prevents a person from despicable behavior. That prevents a person from despicable behavior. And it protects a person from blameworthy behavior. As far as the one who doesn't have haya, then this is a musibah azimah. The person who doesn't have haya, this is a musibah azimah. This is a tremendous, horrible calamity if a person doesn't have haya. So the person who doesn't have haya, he doesn't avoid lying. He doesn't avoid evil affairs, talking nonsense, despicable behavior. He doesn't refrain from drinking alcohol, from zina, illegal sexual relations, from stealing or other than that. The person who doesn't have haya, there's nothing to prevent him from this kind of behavior. Then the Shaykh says, and he closes with this, فَهَذَا فِيهِ الْحَثْ عَلَى الْأَدَبْ وَتَخَلُّقْ بِالْحَيَاةِ. So in this hadith, there is an encouragement to have good manners and to characterize oneself with this characteristic of modesty, of shyness. And also in this hadith is a dalil ala fadl al-haya, an indication of the excellence, the superiority of al-haya, and that it doesn't come with anything except good. And that the one who doesn't have modesty, that person is mahroom min hadhihi al-qasla al-azima. And the person who doesn't have modesty is a person who's deprived of this tremendous characteristic. And this person, فَلَا يُبَالِي بِمَا يَدُرُّهُ وَيَحْدَهُ فِي دِينِهِ وَيَقْدَحُ فِي مَرُؤَتِهِ وَيَحْدَهُ فِي رُجُولَتِهِ. And this person who doesn't have haya, he doesn't care even that his behavior will harm him and that his behavior will cause a diminishing or an impairment to his deen, or to his sense of honor, or to his manhood. He doesn't care. He just does whatever he does. Now. Okay, so with this, inshallah, with that, those comments from the Shaykh, I just want to mention some of the benefits from this hadith. The Shaykh mentions three benefits, and maybe there may be one or two more benefits that we take from the explanation of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. The first benefit from this hadith and that the characteristic of al-haya is from the noble characteristics al-akhlaq al-karima al-ma'athura an al-nubuwat al-sabiqa. Then it's from the noble characteristics that have been transmitted or passed down from the earlier prophets and that which they gave to their people. Number two, al-hathu على الحياة والتنويه بفضله. In this hadith, there's also the encouragement or the urging that a person have this quality of حياة, and also in it is the mention or the praise of the excellence of حياة, the excellence of حياة. And the third point is that the person who doesn't have حياة, then this condition of not having haya causes that person to fall into every type of evil. Three points from the benefits of this hadith from Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. The first point, he says, is those things that have been passed down to us from the previous nations that remain amongst the people today, that there are such things that have been passed down from the previous nations that remain with the people today, and that are still present from the earlier nations. And from those things that have been passed down, they either were transmitted to us by way of revelation in the Quran. Some of what the earlier nations had came to us in the Quran. Allah mentions it. Or it came to us in the Sunnah. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned it. Or it's from that which was conveyed by the people. Yani people just kept telling other people until it was passed down from one generation to another. As for that which came from the earlier prophets, it's divided into three divisions. That which came from the earlier prophets is divided into three divisions. And that which was passed down. The first division is that which our Sharia testifies to its correctness. And therefore it's correct and it's accepted. The second division is that which our Sharia testifies to its falsehood. And it wasn't conveyed correctly. Therefore it's false and it's rejected. And the third division is that which our Sharia doesn't speak about. It doesn't support it or reject it. And on this one, yani يتوقف فيه. Yani we don't take a position, you know, for it or against it. And the Shaykh says this is justice. That which our Sharia hasn't mentioned, we don't take a position one way or another. The second point that he makes the benefits in this hadith, he says that الحياء is نوعان. الحياء نوعان. Yani that حياء is of two types. Okay, and he says the two types, other than the two types that we already mentioned, yani the natural haya and the acquired haya. He said that it is two types. He mentions those as well. But he says here, first, haya is of two types. The first is that which is connected to the rights of Allah, Azza wa Jalla. And the second is that which is connected to the rights of the people, the created beings. Yani haya that's related to the rights of Allah, and the haya that's related to the rights of the people. And of course, the haya that's related to the rights of Allah is the greatest haya and the most important haya. That a person can have shyness in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unlike, may Allah save us from such, those who are shy in front of the people. Are ashamed for the people to see them looking at a nasty movie or listening to some filthy music or doing something that's sin, that's immoral, that's corrupt. But as long as they're in secret, closed behind doors, they're not shy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah save us from that. Yani the shyness, the greatest type of shyness is shyness in reference to the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second type is shyness in reference to the rights of the people. The Shaykh says, as far as the shyness is connected to the rights of Allah azza wa jalla, he said, it is obligatory for us to, yani, exemplify the shyness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala such that we are shy that He sees us in a position or a situation that He has prohibited us from. Yani that a person is engaged in something that Allah has prohibited. We should be shy from engaging in that act, knowing that Allah is watching over us. Or that we be absent from engaging in that which Allah has commanded us with. We should be shy from this. Allah commanded us to pray in Jama'ah, and we don't bother to go to the Jama'ah. We should be shy from this. A person should feel some shame. That they know they have the ability to go to the Jama'ah, and they just don't go. Even though Allah has commanded it. And then he says, yani al-haya is also of two other types from a different perspective. And then he said, the natural haya that a person is yani born with, and the haya that is acquired. The last point that we mentioned from the Shaykh, he said, in this hadith is a refutation of the Jabariyyah. Yani those who say that people do what they are compelled to do what they do. They have no choice in the matter. Yani, this is a deviant ideology of people who claimed that everything, yani, that Allah forces the people to do what they do. And he said this is a refutation against them because this hadith confirms that Allah has given the human being Mashiach, that the human being has a will to do whatever they will to do. And the last point that we want to say is that the Shaykh says, yani, that Al-Haya is a praiseworthy characteristic as long as it doesn't prevent a person from doing that which is obligatory. As long as it doesn't prevent a person from doing that which is obligatory. And as long as it doesn't cause a person to fall into that which is haram. And a person is so shy that something obligatory, they don't do it because they're too shy in front of the people to do it. He said, for example, if shyness prevents a person, yani, from speaking against the person who's doing evil. Al-munkar. Person sees evil and they don't say anything because they're too shy to say anything. That shyness is not praiseworthy. It's blameworthy. It's not praiseworthy. He said it is blameworthy. Rather, a person should yani refute and reject and speak against the evil when they see it, and don't be concerned about how the people are going to feel about it. Don't be concerned about that. As long as they fulfill the conditions, yani, of enjoying the good and forbidding the wrong, and so on to the end of that. And this is the end of what we wanted to convey from the Shaykh. I think our time is up. 1 hour and 5 minutes. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك. If there's any question or especially any correction, then we can take a moment. نعم تفضل. الله أعلم. إمام, what's your thought? I didn't consider, but I mean in general. The commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are for all of mankind. Yani the people who accepted the deen and the people who didn't accept it. Everybody is obligated to fast in Ramadan. Everybody is obligated to yani to give charity, to perform salat. Everybody is obligated. And Allah mentions that people would be punished in the next life. And because they didn't do these things that Allah made obligatory upon us. So in general, yani if Allah commands us with something, it's for everybody in general. But specifically this particular one, it seems like it's general. Yani, however you interpret it, yani if a person wants to do something that's good, that's an act of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then yes, do whatever you will. That should be for everybody. Everybody should do that which they see as good. And if something is evil, and a person wants to do it, then they should know that they're going to suffer the consequences. That's for everybody, for the Muslims and the non-Muslims. Wallahu a'lam.